There's been a bunch of off-season movement in the NHL this year. So much so that our standard lack of research is probably not appropriate for moving forward with the podcast. However, it has been a few weeks since Chris and I have sat down. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head. Wow, it's been a while since I've heard that music. In fact, more than an entire month since you and I have sat down. Chris Withers, thank you for joining me in the off-season.
It is certainly good to be back. I feel like my wounds are somewhat healed since the last episode that we recorded.
The Boston Bruins kicked the shit out of you in the final.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not me.
No. They actually kicked the shit out of every single person who was wearing a Vancouver jersey in the greater Vancouver area. Sticks on ribs, elbows on jaws. They literally beat the crap out of the entire Vancouver region.
They just wandered down Robson Street, elbows out.
What a lot of people don't know is the Vancouver riots were actually started by Boston Bruin players
kicking the shit out of Vancouver.
Kicking the shit out of Vancouver people.
Okay.
That's not true. However, I guess we should start by saying congratulations to the Boston Bruins winning their first cup in 39 years.
Fuckers.
Since 1972, alongside names like Phil Esposito and Jerry Cheevers and Bobby Orr, will now go names like Brad Marchand.
Yeah. Johnny Boychuk.
Johnny Boychuk. Which, to be fair, a guy who goes and breaks an opposition player's back would have fit very nicely on an early 1970s Boston Bruins team.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just realized that I'm actually not over this yet. So how about we move on?
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Still having trouble with it?
Well, you know what? There's plenty of people who still haven't let 94 go.
Yeah, but those people need to be medicated, Chris.
I think I need hockey again before I'm going to get over this.
Okay, so you need some rebound hockey.
Yeah, I need some rebound hockey. some sweet, sweet one-and-done rebound hockey.
Lucky for you, Chris, today our topic is we're basically shooting the off-season shit. So we don't have one specific topic. We've got a few smaller topics. First one I'd like to go to, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about a really cool event that's happening in August, the end of August, here in the Vancouver area. And it is a group of women who are getting together and they're going to play the longest hockey game in history at 8 Rinks in Burnaby. They're a group of 40 women are raising money and awareness for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and they are going to play. Can you guess for how long? Do you know for how long?
I think you've mentioned it, but you're going to tell me anyways. I believe it's over 2 days, is it not?
Over two. Try over 10.
Over 10 days.
250 hours.
Wow.
They are going to play continuous hockey, 24/7. The Guinness Book of World Record people are going to be in Burnaby. The doors must be open the entire time. 8 Rinks has donated all the ice time, and they've donated the support staff so they can keep those doors open for that entire time. You can go down, drop in at 3 o'clock in the morning to see them. You and I are going to record a podcast down there.
Yeah. Now, you and I can't drop in.
No, drop in to watch.
Oh, to watch.
Because
yes.
It is a women's tournament, and everyone who actually plays needs to be registered as a member of the organization. So it's not a drop-in game. Mm. They have a roster of 40 players that are going to be playing over that time. Yeah.
40?
Yeah.
Only 40 players are going to keep it going for 10 days?
Now, that might be my misunderstanding, but that's what I understand. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Good on them if they can do that.
Exactly.
Now, what are the rules there? Are they allowed to pause for ice cleaning?
I believe they're going to follow the rules of hockey, you dipshit. What, are they going to play basketball on the ice?
The rules of hockey would involve no more, I would think, than a 60-minute affair plus possible overtime.
I see where you're going. Okay. So you're basically asking for the rules for the Guinness Book thing.
Yes.
That's a good question. One of the great things that I have to tell you, Chris, is that because you and I are going to be recording a podcast, hopefully at 3 o'clock in the morning, so we can get that ambiance of 3 a.m. hockey when they've already been playing for 8 days. We'll be able to ask all of those questions then.
Okay.
But it is on the web if you're interested in checking it out. It is Longest Game 4CF. That's Longest Game, the number 4CF.com, I think, or it could be .ca. I'm not sure which. Really good folks involved. One of the players that's going to be there, Danielle Dubé, who's a former goaltender for Team Canada in the Olympics.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, but we are here today to shoot the shit about the off-season.
That is the off-season. That's some one-and-done off-season hockey for you. You wanted some rebound hockey. I'm giving you 40 women to go and have some rebound hockey with. Come on, man.
So many ways to go and so many ways to lose listeners right now, I think.
I'm just saying. So the second thing we were going to talk about today?
Is the NHL.
Well, what about
free agent frenzy?
July was madness.
I'm going to have to check my figures. No research, of course. Give or take a few million, approximately $500 million given away.
A billion with a B as in Bob.
With a B.
With a B as in Boychuk.
Yes.
With a B as in Brad Richards. $500 million in new free agent contracts in the first 2 weeks of July.
You are correct, sir, yes.
Holy Kovalchuk.
That's a lot of money.
That is one crazy amount of money. If you don't mind, I'd like to just go down the top 10 list of earners. These are the top 10 dollar amounts for a cap hit. This is not the salary this year. Okay? This is just cap hit.
Yes.
Because as you know, Brad Richards has quite a long contract. He's getting a lot of money this year. He's getting not as much money later on in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Christian Ehrhoff, absolutely insane. He's making Koval books this year because he's going to make $10 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only got a $4 million cap hit. So here we go. Top guy, Brad Richards. $6.66 million cap hit this year. 9-year contract with the Rangers, $60 million total. Nicholas Lidstrom with the Detroit, he signed for one more year, $6.2 million. That's the same cap hit. Andre Markov, $5.75 million in Montreal. That's the third biggest contract in the offseason for a cap hit this year. Andre Markov, good defenseman. Good. Great, would you say?
Andre Markov, no.
Superb?
Superb? I don't know. We're getting into
$5.75 million in Montreal.
You know what? If I look at some of the comparisons and I have to think, is he half again as good as Kevin Bieksa and Dan Hamhuis? I'm going to say no.
There you go. Ilya Bryzgalov, $5.7 million this year. $51 million to play in Philadelphia. What has Ilya Bryzgalov won in his career?
I think he won a silver at a world championship one time.
Okay. With the Russians scoring up a storm in front of him.
Yeah.
What has he won at the NHL level? I mean, he's won a few games against opponents who were bored playing against the Phoenix Coyotes.
Philadelphia obviously spins this as him having a cup ring, which he does in a backup
as capacity. A backup.
Yeah. That's it. Sure, so, he's hoisted the mug, but...
$51 million Philadelphia is throwing at this guy. What they're trying to do is they're trying to say they want to get rid of the excuse of not having a goaltender.
Yes.
Because they have lost a lot of playoff series in recent years because of their goaltending. They're trying to get rid of that excuse.
Yeah, they haven't had a bona fide number one goaltender since Ron Hextall.
Right. And Ron Hextall the first time before he lost all his hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's number four, $5.7 million. James Wisniewski, this is how much defensemen were making this year. James Wisniewski, $5.5 million to go to Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they paying him that because he's worth it, or are they paying him that to convince him to go to Columbus?
They're paying him that to convince him to go to Columbus.
For 6 years, I might add.
For 6 years, and they're paying him that because the free agent pool is the worst that it's been post-lockout.
Okay, but wait a minute. If it's the worst that it's been post-lockout, why are they spending $500 million
because if you
on
want,
this class of people?
If you want to improve in this class, you have to overbid. It's supply and demand. It's pure economics.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Tim Connolly, oft-injured, very talented center. Very, very talented. Let Buffalo Sabres fans down every year because of his injuries, and he just wasn't able to produce regularly. When he's in the lineup, he can be a magician with the puck. He's so rarely in the lineup. He is getting $4.75 million per season with Toronto. What's Toronto thinking? What's Brian Burke thinking?
That one I actually don't have a problem with.
Almost $5 million for a guy who's almost guaranteed to miss half the season.
Okay, if you've got deep pockets, which Toronto has, you don't really lose a whole lot out of this deal. You get the massive upside that Connolly has shown, or you get all of your cap space back because he goes on long-term injured reserve.
I just think that Brian Burke took a lot of heat from some hockey people for being in Afghanistan on July 1st. He was out talking to the troops in Afghanistan, and some people are blaming him for the Leafs not signing Brad Richards. Personally, I don't buy that. I think Brad Richards signed with New York because Toronto is an atrocious team.
Yeah. In this age of communications, I mean, it's by no means necessary to be in the same room with the guy. You can make your pitch from Afghanistan if you so desire.
Well, not only that, Brad Richards didn't sign on July 1st.
That's true.
If he wanted to sign in Toronto, he would have waited an extra day for Brian to come back. If you're going to score a point a game or a point and a half a game, as Brad Richards does, a point a game, who would you rather have in net behind you? I'd rather have King Henrik rather than the monster.
I think I would too. After slow deliberation.
Also, in New York, even though it's a huge market and they have deep pockets too, in New York, I mean, Brad Richards, he's a small town guy originally. He likes to kind of disappear into the woodwork. He'll do his charity work. He'll do that kind of stuff. He'll do his appearances. But he could also disappear, go to a restaurant, and most of the people won't know who he is. In Toronto, everybody will know who he is. Everybody.
I don't know if the Rangers are such a little deal in New York that he can fly under the radar to that extent.
But he's not a flashy guy. He's not going to fly under the radar totally. But we're talking about a city of, what, 18 million people?
Yeah, it's right? Huge.
It's massive. So even though the Rangers are a big deal, you can blend in. He's just an average-looking guy. He doesn't dress like Sean Avery.
Right.
Right? He doesn't do crazy crap with his hair like Dennis Rodman did. Right? This is a guy who can blend in. And he's going to be out and about with his family and stuff. He's not partying it up at the clubs.
Right.
So, and he's not doing an Ed Belfour saying, look who I am, I'll give you $1 billion. Right? In the backseat of a patrol car. Right? This is a family guy who just goes to the rink, does his stuff. He does a few things in the community. But he can blend in New York. In Toronto, he wouldn't get that luxury. So I don't blame Brian Burke for missing out on the Brad Richards deal.
No.
However, the biggest splash you make is with a guy who's almost guaranteed to miss half the season?
You know what? I don't know that. It's not a case of... Sammy Salo is the one that comes to mind right off the bat, where he's always picking up a new kind of injury. He just is a brittle person. Connolly's had some bad luck. He's picked up some concussions. He's had some trouble with that. I don't think that's necessarily a guarantee that he continues to get injured.
I don't know. I'm looking at some of the other players that are on this list. It's true that Connolly is the top-ranked center, other than Brad Richards. He's the top-ranked center to go. I mean, Thomas Kopecky is way down the list at $3 million a year, and he's not a first-line guy. Jason Arnott is at the tail end of his career, and Berkey wasn't looking for someone who is in his mid to late 30s. Michael Hanzus, okay, he's a decent player, but he's a depth guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Burke is looking for someone who, when he's in the roster, is a top line or a strong second line center.
No, he needs a top line center. He needs somebody to play with Phil Kessel.
Okay, but the fact is that I just don't think Tom Connolly's going to be that guy. He's not on the ice enough.
But who would you have picked up?
Well, I might have gone the trade route.
He still could.
And certainly, the Leafs have some cap room to play with. So, anyway, the fact is, oft-injured Tim Connolly, got the sixth fattest paycheck in the offseason so far. Seventh, Kevin Bieksa, long-term in Vancouver, $4.6 million.
Great signing.
I think it's a good deal. It's a little bit less than market value. He probably could have got $6 million if he went elsewhere, just by looking at how much Markov got.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have, Bieksa or Markov?
Bieksa, as I said already.
Markov's got a bigger offensive upside, but Bieksa is just a better all-around player. And he's got the hometown crowd behind him already.
Yeah.
Thomas Fleshman. Now, the Flash, some people were saying that he was a possible trade to Vancouver late last year.
Mm-hmm.
Gillis didn't go for it. Instead, ended up getting LaPierre and Higgins. Flash, what do you think of this? He goes to Florida for $4.5 million.
I think Dale Tallon is clinically retarded.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know as any clinic since you were born has used the term retarded. So how can you be clinically retarded?
He's not a smart person. Let's put it that way.
All right.
He should not be at the helm of an NHL franchise.
All right. I would like to apologize on behalf of Chris Withers and all of the hundreds of staff here at Pucked in the Head. I would like to apologize to all of our mentally challenged and otherwise abled listeners for his insensitive comments. Next up, Ville Leino gets $4.5 million from Buffalo.
Okay.
Leino had a really good playoff 2 years ago for Philadelphia when they went to the Cup final.
Yep.
Outstanding. What did he do? How did he do last year? I didn't follow him very much.
He certainly didn't earn $4.5 million.
Apparently he did.
Like I said, supply and demand. If you want any kind of upgrade to your existing team during this free agent market, you have to pay through your nose.
I would like to jump down the list a little bit to somebody that stands out that is exactly your point. Washington re-ups with Brooks Like. Brooks Like, would you say a third line? Third liner? Solid third liner? Occasional second liner?
I think he'd be a good second liner on a lot of teams, but on Washington, I think probably third.
$4.5 million for 6 years. They've locked him up. Ed Jovanovski, also in Florida. Now, he's 35 years old. According to the cap rules now in the NHL, if you sign a player at 35 years old, you must pay every dollar of that contract. You cannot buy them out. And if they retire, you're still on the hook for their cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign someone who's 20 to a long-term deal and they retire, you don't have their final year's cap hit.
Right.
Okay. You'll still have to do the average, but you won't have to do their final years of their contract against their cap hit. Because Ed Jovanovski is 35, Florida now must pay all of the $4.125 million for 4 years until he's 39 years old.
So that is, what, $16.5 million?
$16.5 million over the next 4 years. They must pay him even if he retires tomorrow. And they must take it as a cap hit.
Dale Tallon, I suppose I have to find a new way to describe him, is dumb.
He can't speak? Is that what you're saying? He has lost the ability to speak?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if he were deaf, blind, mute. If he were capable of going to an NHL arena, sitting down, and staring blankly at the ice without actually absorbing anything that was going on, that wouldn't surprise me. That's how I envision Dale Tallon going to hockey games and scouting other teams.
Right. I've got two things to say about Dale Tallon.
Okay.
Okay. Because we also see that he signed Scotty Upshaw, decent depth forward, to a 4-year deal for $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
He also traded for Brian Campbell and his massive $7 million cap hit salary.
Yep.
They are still millions of dollars under the cap floor. So they are spending like mad to try to get to the cap floor.
And here we get to the crux of the issue. The problem right now with the NHL's basement dwellers, is that the cap floor is about $10 million higher than the original cap ceiling.
Right.
Back when it came in 5 years ago. It's lost all meaning, basically.
And because of that, you see Florida throwing $4.5 million to Thomas Fleshman. You see them throwing $1.5 million at Jose Theodore.
Potato.
Sure. So Jose Potato Potato. And they're throwing all this money at Brian Campbell, and they still have not hit the cap floor. You look at their roster, these guys are not a playoff team. And these are the people that they have in their roster for the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to go play for them unless they get paid tons of money.
Yeah, I mean, they do have an advantage.
So why is Dale Tallon dumb if he's just trying to reach the cap floor? He has to spend this money somehow. The superstar's not going to go there because they don't have a winning roster. So he's got to spend all that money on fair to midland players.
But he's not doing anything else. He's just throwing money at whoever's going to pay him. He's not going out of his way to target anybody who could help him.
But how is any one player going to help him? I mean, the only recourse he has is to go after a bunch of depth guys. I mean, look at Ed Jovanovski. If Ed Jovanovski comes to a contender, if he goes to the Red Wings, if he goes to the Canucks, he's going to get, what, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes a game?
Yeah.
Playing in Florida, even at 35, he's going to get 20 minutes a game. Easy.
Probably, yeah.
So he ups his playing time and he ups his bank account. Can't blame the guy. But anyone who is a legitimate star is not going to go play in Florida. That's why Jay Bouwmeester needed to go. Now, why he went to Calgary, I have no idea. But that's another issue.
Yeah. You make a valid point, but I don't... He just doesn't come across as having any idea how to build an NHL franchise. The only thing that he has ever done is take a team in the Chicago Blackhawks that had been finishing at the bottom of the league for years, take all of those young superstars, and let them play.
So what you're saying is that he put an organization together that drafted well. That's pretty good.
I'd have to go back and look and see how many of those were actually talent draft picks, but yes.
This brings me to my second point. While I'm gonna play devil's advocate and I'm gonna say that his signings in Florida are not his fault. I think the NHL system of the cap floor being 75% of the cap ceiling is not a big enough gap. I think it should be less than that. So I think it should be maybe 60%. So you've got the opportunity for a small market team like this that's losing money already, doesn't have to spend like mad if the cap floor goes up. Because that's just going to drive up the price of legitimate players. I mean, if Jovanovski is worth $4.5 million at this stage in his career, Kevin Bieksa could have gotten $9 million on the open market. Just according to that. Because Bieksa is worth two Jovanovskis right now.
The problem I see with that is the players essentially are the league. And when you lower the salary floor, you're giving them a much lower percentage because invariably teams are going to be spending right at that floor. You're giving them a much lower percentage of the overall revenues of the league. And I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't agree with you. If a team is losing money, and they are losing money largely because of how much they have to spend on their salary, how is that jobbing the players?
You know what? If they are losing money because they have to spend, what, $48 million a year on player costs, I don't think that they are in a market that can support an NHL franchise.
Okay, I agree with that. I'm not arguing that. I'm simply saying that if the NHL is loath to move franchises, as Gary Bettman has said, well, what are we going to do? We've got Phoenix losing at least $25 million a year. You've got Long Island threatening to leave, so much so that the New York Rangers organization is coming out to support them to say, we need to help these guys to stay in town. The Rangers are supporting the Islanders because the Islanders are complaining so much and wanting to leave. We've got Edmonton, who is continuing to lose money because of their crappy building, but they don't, and they in the community don't want to build a new building because of the lack of revenue, even though they sell that place out. The fact is you've got several cash cows that are propping up the whole league. It's not like one or two teams are losing money. We've got a dozen teams that are barely breaking even.
Well, it depends how you view the league. I mean, if you view it as these players belong to this team, then your argument makes sense. But if you think of the league as a whole, as a league that's bringing in, it's got to be like 10 figures. They're $1 billion industry anyways.
One would assume.
$1.5 billion, I would
think.
One
would assume.
If you look at it from that standpoint, then dividing the revenues of the league in any way that puts more money in the owners' pockets and takes it away from the players, I don't think is fair.
Okay. So if teams like the Rangers and the Maple Leafs did not have deeper pockets than the Columbus Blue Jackets, your argument stands for me. The reason that the Leafs and the Rangers and the Canucks can afford to spend at the cap ceiling. The Leafs are spending at the cap ceiling even though they haven't made the playoffs since you were a fetus. Okay? These guys, they have no reason to, they don't need to win. They sell out every game despite stinking to high heaven. Columbus needs to put a winning team together or they're not going to be there in 5 years. Columbus is never going to put a winning team on the ice with the way that things currently stand. I mean, they'll be lucky to keep Rick Nash next contract.
Yeah, I don't know about that last statement. I think Columbus has actually done okay for themselves in this offseason. And they made the big trade for Carter, giving up Jakub Voracek.
That's true. And when we record our next segment about the Flyers, speaking of mentally challenged Summers, there is one thing I'd like to say about Dale Talon. As much as I'm playing devil's advocate, I'd like you to close your eyes and picture this, if you will. Imagine you are at an Italian restaurant with Dale Talon. And Dale Talon looks at you and says, "Okay, Chris, I'm going to write a figure on a piece of paper."
Why is Dale Talon a plumber from New York City?
That is not important. When he says, "I'm going to write a number on a piece of paper," just say yes. Don't even look at the number. Just say yes, yes, oh God, yes. Because whatever number he writes down, because whether it's OCD or whether it's anything else, he's going to keep writing that number down. And he's going to continue to add zeros to the end of it. So I just say, yes, yes, oh God, yes. That's all I have to say about that.
About Dale Talon.
It's probably a good idea to say yes.
Okay. I would have a lot more faith in Talon if he were going after guys at the end of some of these big front-loaded contracts. But he's not.
Like Brian Campbell?
Campbell's not at the end of it yet. Campbell is still making more this year.
Then
the cap hit.
Okay.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
So what you're saying is that he should go after a guy like, say, Christian Ehrhoff 6 years from now.
Yes.
Because he's going to be making
$1 million.
$1 million a year, but his cap hit is $4 million.
Yes. And if he were doing that, then that would make sense from the way he was trying to build a team.
Right.
But the way he's going about it now, he's just throwing money that the team doesn't have.
Well, that is a valid point, Mr. Withers. You're giving away your accounting background. Those were the 10 top contracts in the offseason. A whole lot of money for a whole lot of average players.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going for future seasons.
I don't like where it's going for next season, because next season the CBA is up. And I think Gary Bettman probably doesn't like the way this is going either.
And unfortunately, the Board of Governors and GMs of the NHL extended his contract by however many years last season.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, they just re-upped him again.
It is not surprising. Not surprising in the least. Gary Bettman has increased the revenues of this league massively. One of the big problems this year for the bottom teams is a huge increase in the cap floor. And the reason that that huge increase is coming is because Gary Bettman got a decent-sized television deal for the NHL.
Well, decent compared to the bagel that he had been getting
exactly.
For the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I mean,
certainly
it's still equivalent to the preseason in the NFL, but it's
It's money.
Money, and it's notable money.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll agree with that. And I do think that there are some things to do with marketing that he has done well. And certainly he's upped the league revenue, even if there are owners who are losing money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you will see the Winnipeg Jets losing money.
No.
The way that they did before.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. All right, so that's it for this episode. Next time we will come back and we will talk about a couple of franchises that we think did good, bad, ugly things with their rosters. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a
I'm going to re-record this opening later on. So, na 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 na, hey 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 hey, etc. etc. You heard me.
You better be re-recording that.
Yes.
And for once, you're gonna get the outtake clip at the end.
Perhaps. Perhaps.